Previously in Aphon Kiss, written and read by Alice Dale, Pippa phoned Irene's young priest home from the war and made an appointment to see him after Mass next day, where Irene and John joined them with the good news that Irene was pregnant.
The door was answered quite quickly, and Philippa saw what Irene meant about his beautiful housekeeper. Then she wondered why her face seemed vaguely familiar. "Come in, Mrs. Stebbings. Father told me to expect you. He didn't say there would be two of you, but come in anyway." When they reached the hall, the housekeeper extended a hand, saying, "I'm Anna Kelly, Father Dempsey's housekeeper and health worker." While Pippa was shaking hands, she looked at the housekeeper with an inquiring smile. "This probably sounds daft, but your face seems familiar, and I don't know why. I have the same feeling about you." Both women stood looking at each other before Anna spoke. "I don't suppose you ever visited Buckland Hospital near Dover?" "Yes, my son was there for over a year." "That must be it. But I don't remember meeting you. It must have been in passing." "Wait a minute. Are you the woman Nurse Walters brought into the canteen demanding food for you?" "Yes, that's right. And you were sitting at another table. Now I remember. What's your son's name?" "Craig Stebbings." "That's it. He's the one she was crazy about. And he was the one with the super voice who sang at the Christmas show." "That's right. What's more, he's engaged to Pamela now."
"What?"
"Look, I know you're here to see Father Dempsey, but we've got things to talk about too, and I don't know why we're standing in the hall. Come into the sitting room." They followed her into the small room, dwarfed by two armchairs, a small couch, and an overflowing bookcase with a large crucifix on top. A small table, laid with tea for two, sat in the middle. Anna turned round and addressed David. "I must apologise for us getting carried away with our memories. I'm afraid I don't know your name."
"David."
Holding out his hand.
"David Mackey."
They shook hands, and there followed an awkward silence, but only for a moment. "I take it you're a relative."
"No, no, just a friend. But we both need to talk to the father."
"I see," she said politely. But of course she didn't. "Well, let me boil the kettle for the tea, and I'll fetch another cup. Father won't be long unless he's been collared by some lonely soul who just wants to blether. He's very kind that way."
"I hope he's kind in another way too,"
thought Pippa as they sat down side by side on the small sofa. She turned to David.
"How's that for a coincidence? Her knowing Pam?"
"Amazing, but I don't suppose it'll do us any good."
"No, of course not. I wonder what changed her mind about nursing to become a housekeeper. Seems a bit of a come down."
"She did add, and health worker. I wouldn't be surprised if that has something to do with his amputation."
The door opened and Anna re-entered, teapot in one hand and a cup and saucer in the other. David jumped up.
"Oh, here, let me help you,"
he said, taking the obviously heavy teapot, now covered in a woolen knitted hat. Placing it on the tray, he said,
"Will you join us for a cuppa?"
"Oh, no, the other cup's for Father, and I have his lunch to get ready."
but I'd love to catch up with Pamela. Maybe we could get in touch again. I'd love that.
You'd love what, Anna?
Said the deep voice behind her. Oh, Father, you wouldn't believe what's happened here. And as she proceeded to update him on the Buckland coincidence, Pippa studied the priest who held their future in his hands. He was tall and upright, with a shock of blonde hair and sparkling hazel eyes. She noticed his left sleeve was folded up and pinned at the back in some way. She hoped he was right-handed. Their introduction proved he was. His grip was firm and warm, without being bone-crushing. What a handsome man, she thought, and so intelligent. His sermon had not been about sin, in spite of the sin of war. Instead, he had talked about how much goodness and self-sacrifice was coming out of these ghastly circumstances. The only sin he mentioned was the sin of despair, and contrasted it with hope, which he urged the congregation to cling to, along with total belief that good would triumph over evil. By the end of his homily, Pippa had felt uplifted, unlike Father Cleary's depressing ones. Then, like so many of his female parishioners, even the devout ones, she thought, What a pity he'll never pass on those genes. Make sure you have a biscuit with your tea, Anna said, as she turned and made her way to the door, where she stopped when Pippa spoke, promising to put Pamela in touch with her. With a big smile, Anna said, sure, that would be grand, and left. Father Dempsey settled himself down in the armchair opposite them, drank some tea and replaced the cup on its saucer on the small table. Crossing his long legs, he apologised for the delay, but added,
however, it seems you had plenty to talk about with Anna. Now, how can I help you, Mrs. Stebbings? Should I be including you, Mr...
Mackie, but please, call me David.
And I'm Philippa, Father.
Good. In that case, call me Andrew.
Pippa positively glowed. The scene was set for an informal chat between friends, and at last she relaxed. But Andrew started with the very question she'd hoped to avoid.
May I ask why you've come to see me? Although I'm delighted you have, instead of your own parish priest.
He asked, devoid of accusation. After a moment's hesitation, Pippa answered, well, as you know, my daughter and her husband are parishioners of yours, and what I'd like to discuss with you would also affect them.
Good answer,
David thought.
Right,
Andrew conceded.
That makes sense. Now, since you two don't seem to be related, are you simply as an observer, David? Or does Pippa need your moral support?
I think we both do, since the situation involves both of us,
he replied.
Well, who's going to start the ball rolling?
The priest smiled and took a sip of tea. Knowing how succinctly David would sum up the situation, Pippa said, I think you should, David. After all, it's really about your situation.
You're right,
he agreed, and as usual went straight to the point.
My wife has left me, and I received this letter from her on Friday,
he said, handing it over.
She's divorcing me, and as you see, she's taking the blame.
Father Dempsey read in silence, then handing back the letter, asked,
how long were you married, David?
10 years.
Couples usually have worked out any differences by that time. In my experience, separations tend to come earlier than that, or much later. But of course, no two marriages are the same. For instance, Philippa, your marriage may be very different from David's.
Oh, yes, it was. But I'm a widow now.
I'm sorry for your loss. Were you married in a Catholic church?
Of course. We were both Catholic. I still am. So is David.
But my wife wasn't Catholic. It was a mixed marriage at a side altar.
But you took the marriage vows of the church.
Oh, yes. And I meant every word at the time.
But you don't now?
Gosh, that's a tricky question.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Andrew said with a sympathetic smile.